down in the den. So go tell a friend, the best podcast on earth's about to begin. We got jokes and news and movie reviews. After Dark NC-17 with the crew. Interviews with the best artists around. So like, comment, subscribe. The show's starting right now. Let's go. Like, comment, subscribe. The show's starting right now. Welcome back to the season 4 debut of Down in the Den, and I'm back. It's your host, Mars, aka Marlon Beardo, the Bearded Weirdo. And joining me in the den is an amazing producer. He is an amazing artist. He is one of the core founding members of the music group Worlds Apart, and he's a good, good buddy of mine. Welcome, the creator, the main producer of Worlds Apart, my guy, Jason Rivera. Jason, how you doing today, brother?
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, no, thank you for having me. And I'm good, man. I'm just still producing music, trying to release at least one song a month this year. That's been my goal. And so, it's been going well so far. Thanks for asking.
I love it. I love the grind, man. That's the way to do it. So a longstanding tradition here in the den. We love fortune stories. And I know a little bit of yours because I actually know you personally. But what is your origin story? How did you go from super fan to actually making music and collaborating with artists that, you know, you were a fan of? What's your origin story?
Yeah, I think like a lot of Americans, I had this idea of like what success should look like growing up. It's like, oh yeah, you got to make a lot of money. You got to get a good job. You got to keep getting promoted. You got to have this and that. You have to have all these things, a big house, a nice car, whatever it may be. And the bizarre thing about my career is I succeeded fairly early. Like I did well in my career. It was financial stability, promotions, got every job that I ever wanted. And yet, regardless, it's like I just wasn't happy. I felt like incomplete, right? And what I kind of found out really around like almost 7 years ago at this point is like I needed something beyond work to live for, right? Like beyond work, beyond family, even like what am I building? What am I creating? How am I expressing myself? What is my, if I were to tell a story, not using words, but to use like feelings or emotions, and how would I do that? And for me, music kind of became that outlet. I was going to a lot of festivals. I was with my new girlfriend at the time, Ashley. Now we're married and we have a kid, but we're going to lots of festivals, lots of music shows. And every time I went, I would just lose my mind. I would be like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. This is amazing. I love this experience. I love how I feel. And then one day it kind of just dawned on me. I was like, well, what if I made music? What if I just, I don't know, what if I created it, right? And it kind of just all got going from there.
That's awesome. And I feel like I was a part of that journey. I was there. I saw a lot of the events. And when you first started, and the growth of your sound has been amazing, you know, from just tinkering to really finding your groove. How would you describe your sound? If somebody was going to go into Spotify and type in Worlds Apart, what would you describe? What are they going to get when they're listening to your music?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of, it's always so hard to really kind of like genre, you know, like really genre select what music is, right? There's a lot of terms that could describe it. Melodic dubstep could be a term. Future bass could be a term. In general, if I were, I'm even doing like a lot of trap hip hop hybrid stuff right now. But if I were to say like, what is the theme that kind of goes across all of my songs, there is like this, kind of like almost like a dark fairy tale classical, not only melody that kind of encompasses everything, it's very melodically driven, but there's a lot of atmospheres in my songs. Like if we were to open up a project and if we were to turn all the, let's say like the main lead off, and to turn the vocals off, and to even turn the drums off, you would still hear an astronomical amount of sound going on. And I focus a lot on putting my listeners in like almost in like an environment, like to where you feel like you are in a certain place. And so, yeah, I guess melodic dubstep and future bass would be the technical name for it. But if I were to choose my own name, it's like, I don't know, dark fairy tale atmosphere dubstep. It's so many different like genres and styles that I'm matching, if that makes sense.
I love it, man. I really do. Now let's talk about your newly released single, Target on Your Back. I love it, man. It has an international vibe to me. I checked it out. I'm a fan. Tell me what went into that release. And we mentioned earlier, you have a goal to drop a single a month. What went into that particular song? Because it sounds a little bit different from some of your previous releases, but it's dope. So what went into that release?
Yeah, so if I think about kind of like my musical inspiration going back to like a kid, right? So I grew up in the 90s and I was obsessed with two types of music. The first would just be like alternative music, like saying like alternative band music, right? Like that was like the era of like bands. This is before electronic music got really big. And there were so many big bands that were out in the 90s, you know, whether My Chemical Romance or Blink-182, Metallica,
Green Day.
Green Day, so on and so forth, right? So that's honestly one really, like a lot of like my, even like my sound design, my chord structures, even though I'm doing like EDM, a lot of it comes from that. But my other biggest influence was like hip hop. So like just Biggie, Tupac, Nas, everything. Just, I love hip hop. I'm obsessed with good hip hop. And so I've kind of been in this place where like, I've been trying to fuse it with certain things. I also spent a lot of time in my life in the Middle East. And so, not that I listened to a lot of natural music while I was there, but I feel a connection with that part of the world. And so like a lot of my melodies, particularly of the two hip hop songs that I've released so far, both of them have like kind of like a Middle Eastern twang to them. And so with this one in particular, I wanted to make something that went a little bit harder. I had an idea. I had a vision of like lyrically what I was trying to say. And what I like about Middle Eastern sounds is there is a dark and mysterious element to it. This very like this like danger, darkness, mysteriousness. And for me, that was kind of why I chose to use that particular type of melody for that song. And I was generally just trying to write like a commentary on like if you like for like lyrics, for example, right? One part goes like politician, movie star, who you are don't change the fact. If you're an effing criminal, you got a target on your back. And I was just kind of thinking at the time of like, I think a lot of times in society where people are treated unfairly based off their class, it's like, oh, if you're rich or a politician or a movie star, maybe you can get away with more than an average person or whatnot, right? Though I think what we're finding more and more is that like, I don't know, eventually you gotta get what's coming to you, whether it's through the law or whether it's through karma or whatever it may be. The world has a way of kind of being like kind of figuring things out and making it even. And so, yeah, it was kind of just like this social commentary message. It's like, look, doesn't matter who you are. If you're doing shit that like doesn't, if you're doing things that like are either not good for yourself, not good for your neighbor, if you're hurting other people in whatever way, shape, or form, white collar crimes, blue collar crimes, whatever it may be, it's going to come and get you at some point.
Love that. I love it. Now, we here Down in the Den, we love the creators. I'm a creative myself. You're a creative. And I always ask in this journey, because that's really what it's all about. It's not the destination. It's the journey, the self-discovery, the realization of creating something. As a fellow guy, we can't give birth. So creating something is the closest we can come to almost godliness in creating something. On this journey, what has been the most disheartening element of becoming a creator? As you mentioned, you know, you had great success in the corporate world, but this creative game is completely different and there's really no set path for you to find great success. So what's been the most disheartening element becoming a creator?
That's a very good question. And it's one that you are probably also familiar with the answer to. It's the process of starting, the beginning, getting good, having no followers, no listeners, people just talking shit about your trick. Oh, this sucks, that sucks, this sucks, whatever it may be, and putting time into it, just lots and lots of time, and feeling like you're going nowhere. Honestly, I've been producing for, it'll be 8 years in October, and frankly, the first 4 years, I was getting better and better all the time, but it didn't feel like it. I felt like I couldn't produce anything. I hated my own music, just the self-esteem issues, because I would compare music to like my success in my career, because I'm like, all right, I made it in my career. How come I can't figure it out here? How come I'm not on this label that I want? How come I don't have all the listeners I want? How come I don't have this? How come I, whatever it may be. And Honestly, if I were to sum all that up, it just my ego was the biggest thing getting in the way. It's this the idea of where I should be as opposed to focus on what I'm doing right now. I would say about 2 to 3 years ago, I let go of the idea of any type of success, any type of fan base. I let go of the idea of live performing. I let go of almost everything. And strangely, is when I let go, that's when my music kind of really started hitting another level. Because then no longer mattered who's paying attention to me, who's doing what. All that mattered was getting better. Like, the only metric by which I measure myself at this point is, can I hear something in my mind and can I create it? If I can hear something in my mind, or if I can see something in my mind and create and do anything I want, to me, that's what success is. And yeah, like I said, it's like the more I do that, the more I'm also kind of getting, like, again, the following or the listens or the whatever. But it wasn't until I let go of that, like, just that, just the self-esteem stuff, like really kind of focusing on what I don't have. When I did that, that's when things kind of started coming together.
I love that. I tell people, if you haven't experienced ego death, the freedom of just letting things go, that seems when the universe steers you on where you're supposed to be. Now, on the flip side of that previous question, what has been the most inspiring element of being a creator and being able to produce those sounds that are running around in your head to the masses? What's been the most inspiring element?
Yeah, a few things. And I'll characterize it both externally and internally. So externally, what I would say is inspiring is, and now we're kind of getting back to the ego land, right? But start with that.
No, you're good, bro.
Yep. Oops. Okay. Yeah. I don't know why that happened. But yeah, externally, it'd be like kind of like the, you know, just a little validation to some degree, right? Oh my God. Sorry. Okay, I'm gonna turn my phone off. All right. So externally, I would say it's like kind of like a validation to some degree. It's like, but when I say validation, I don't necessarily mean of me, but validation of the music itself. Having somebody reach out to me and like say, like, oh my God, this thing you wrote, you inspired me. Like, you're one of my top 2-3 favorite artists. Or, hey, this thing you wrote, would you ever be willing to collaborate with this person or that person? Or even like other artists reaching out to me asking to collaborate. Like, there's a song that I'm releasing with a guy, hopefully later this year. He's from Bangladesh, and he reached out to me. He's like, yeah, I heard a song on, you know, on this one, I think it was like Spotify or something like that. And he's like, I'd love to collaborate with you on something. And at first I was like, I don't know. Well, maybe, because I want to know how good their music is, right? Because I've had a few people reach out to collaborate with me, but like a lot of times it's like, well, you're not quite there yet. Maybe if you work more in this area. But yeah, I listened to what he sent me and it's amazing. It's just like these beautiful sounds that I could have never in myself conceived of, right? And so like, you know, there's stuff like that, I think, where you're like, you know, the external validation, like getting to work with others and share with others. The deeper part though, I would say is the internal. In my own life, I've battled just different things, depression, anxiety, PTSD. I was in the army, had all sorts of issues that I dealt with after, right? And when I am producing music and when I produce something that I truly love, I am just in this pure state of bliss, alone. I can be literally alone. It is as if I'm on all the drugs in the world. I feel, the way I feel is just, oh, and it's just this most amazing feeling. And like it, and with no, well, again, with no external, there's nothing, like there's no reason for it, right? It's like it just literally the process of creating itself, just the joy of creating. And like what I've learned by feeling that is like that is the reason I am producing, not even necessarily for the finished song anymore, not even necessarily for the listener, but literally for the joy and the healing of producing something in of itself, the creation of something that didn't exist and now it does, right? Like to me, that's kind of the greatest benefit of it all.
Yeah, I love it. That's fantastic. Now, a theme this season is going to be every season we do up here, this is season 4. Thanks, guys, for tuning in once again. We always like to have a theme. And for me, during our hiatus, while we were filming our other projects, I've noticed the quick rise of AI music, from things sounding like, oh, okay, they've got the voice, to, oh, wow, I can't tell that this is not Drake, or this is not Kanye, or this is not Biggie, or this is not Michael Jackson. So as a music lover, like you. I grew up alternative. I'm a 90s baby as well. 90s. I love alternative. I love hip hop. Those are my two things. Unfortunately, in hip hop and somewhere in alternative, we've lost a lot of legends. So selfishly, I'm like, I would love to hear a new Biggie song on some modern beat. Or I'd love to hear a new Tupac song. I'd love to hear DMX back. But then the spiritual side of me is like, what are we going into? What, you know, where does it begin? What is your opinion on AI music? With, I mean, if it's gone this far, this quickly, I would imagine by the end of this year, we're not going to be able to tell anymore. So do you feel that it's going to be something that hinders the industry? Or is it just going to be on the business side, just another form of the revenue? So maybe these people's families who have lost their artists can make some money and we can still get gifted with fantastic music. Do you think it's something we should be fearful of, or something we should caution, or something we should embrace?
Well, regardless of how anyone feels about AI, we're never going backwards. This is it. Here we are. And so I think the only option is to embrace it. And I feel like this, not only musically, but just all forms of AI, it is here to stay. If we don't do it, then somebody's going to do this, and it will break out, and that it, here is the new reality, right? And so specifically to AI and music, I mean, I guess, like, here's kind of what I'm seeing, right? AI is so far good at presenting you options and ideas, but it cannot yet really do a composition, at least not from what I'm seeing. And now, like, the AI generation of, like, kind of like vocals, right? I think that's an interesting area. And I think how you feel about that almost depends on who you ask. If you ask a vocalist, they probably don't love that, right? That's like asking a taxi driver how they feel about Uber. You know what I mean? Like, this thing that can fundamentally threaten, like, your industry and, like, kind of like your livelihood, so to speak, right? And, you know, so if I were a vocalist, yeah, I probably would not love this. As a producer, I think it's kind of interesting. Like, I look at the human, like, for me, the human voice is another instrument. Like, it's just another instrument, another tool. And if I have tools that can now help me generate the most, probably what is easily the most important instrument in a song, which is the human voice, it's like, it, literally, it's what they're saying. It's a story, right? And so for me as a producer, I think that's kind of an interesting opportunity. But then now let's kind of expand to the future, where, like, what if AI actually can write songs and produce original melodies and do the mixing, do everything? It can, in of itself, by itself, no more human intervention, no more human, you know, involvement, right? And it can kind of do that in the artistic world, right? Drawing, right. Visual, like, whoo, AI generate art. It's already there. And so that's an interesting question. What happens when AI is not only more proficient in the world of, like, you know, just answering questions and knowledge and coding and all the other things that generative AI with ChatGPT and Google Bard are doing? It's already kind of like revolutionizing that area. But what happens when it is better than every producer at making a song? That's a good question. I don't know. I guess what it comes down to, the way that I would look at it is, like, how is AI trained? AI has to be trained through, like, kind of like somebody, like, basically saying, like feeding information,
right,
and telling it whether it's going the right direction or the wrong direction. And so I guess, like, in terms of, like, where we are right now, I kind of see AI as a tool. And in terms of, like, the evolution of it, I think those artists who masterfully incorporate AI elements into their work are probably going to be the ones that are going to get ahead. I don't think we're going to stop it. It is happening. There is no stopping it. And so the question is, who's going to adopt it? How craftfully can they do it? How can they do it in a way that where it still feels original and authentic, but at the same time also takes advantage of all the, you know, the benefits of what AI can bring to bear? I think that's kind of how I look at it.
Great answer. That's a great answer. And as you mentioned, there's no putting that toothpaste back in the container. It's already on the floor. So we'll see. You know, this is going to be an interesting couple of months and couple of years. But one thing that's for sure, you can't run away from technology. Ask Blockbuster. if you fail to evolve, you will perish. So I love it, man. But brother, I thank you so much, man. You're always so insightful. I know you're super busy, and I appreciate you taking out some time to chat with us and the rest of the Den Mates. But before I let you go, we always play a game every year. I want to get you that official Den Mate stamp in your passport so we can send you guys some merch. And so we have a quick game. It's called Dive In. We're going to dive into the artists and just ask some randomly generated questions, almost like AI, by our sponsors over at Poddebts. Guys, if you want to start a podcast, I promise you Poddebts is going to give you all the tools you need to have a successful podcast. And I'm going to do you guys a favor, 10% off with discount code THEDEN, THEDEN. Get yourself 10% off, get yourself some Poddebts and see what I'm talking about. So this game, Dive In, we have three categories that I specifically selected for you. And the first category is techie, because you're a techie guy. So this randomly generated techie question, I'm going to pull it up. Hopefully it's a good one. All right. So, oh, this is a good one. What is your favorite computer or video game?
Ooh, oh man. Oh, so many. What's weird is I haven't played computer or video games in forever. Ever since I started producing music, I haven't really played that much, just because like, it's like, should I produce or should I play video games? And it's always production, right? But if I were to go back in the day, probably Final Fantasy.
Nice.
There's something about Final Fantasy, just like the epic battle between good and evil, morality, just what is right, what is wrong, what are the lines between. Like, I feel like Final Fantasy was good at taking all of that and just kind of just really smashing it into this very single, very interesting, immersive world.
That's a good one. I love Final Fantasy VII. That's my favorite. But my favorite video game is probably Red Dead Redemption 2. I think the art in that, I've played the game 4 times to get to completion, and it's an awesome game. So good answer. All right, so the next question, and I put this specifically for you. Father's Day is coming up. You're a father with a little one. So this category is called That's My Dad. So I'm doing this for the father. All right. Did you ever take a great vacation with one of your parents when you were a kid that just is etched in your mind, like something that is just legendary to you that you will always remember? Was there ever a vacation that you either took with any of your parents when you were a kid that just kind of holds a special place in your heart?
Yeah. So we didn't have like a ton of money growing up. And what my mom would always do, for better or worse, is she would just go into credit card debt to like create experiences for me. And there was one in particular. I had never been outside of the country. I think I was like maybe 9 or 10 or something like that. But basically, my mom got myself and my dad. We went on a cruise to Mexico. And I've been a lot of places since then, like especially since the Army. Like I've seen like pretty much every continent at this point. But what was interesting about that, or what was so special about that one, is like just being able to experience different cultures, being able to spend time with them, knowing at some level that they couldn't afford it, but yet they made it happen anyway. Just kind of seeing like the how much they prioritize like creating experiences for me. And that was something that I, at the time, I didn't get as much, but the older I grew, the more I realized, like, okay, yeah, they did a lot of stuff for me where they actually couldn't afford it. And they did that all to be able to create an experience for me. And so that was kind of one of those things where I loved it more the older I grew. And I feel like that a lot of, in a lot of different ways about my parents. Like, there are things that they did when I was a kid that I didn't understand then. But the older I grow, the more I kind of understand what they were doing. And I'm grateful for what they did as well.
Absolutely. And shout out to all the special parents out there. We just went through Mother's Day, and shout out to the mom, shout out to the dads. That is a great answer. And when we age, we realize how special some of those experiences that we took for granted really are. And the final question of the episode, we're going to get you this Den Mate stamp. This is the music category. Do you have a musical influence that would come to a surprise to most of your fans? We know you mentioned alternative hip hop, obviously electronic music, all types. But is there someone out there? For me, I tell people, it shocks people. I'm a huge Backstreet Boys fan. and I'm not ashamed. I wear that band pride. I think they're dope. Is there a particular musical influence that would come to a surprise to most people?
Let me think. If I did not have a hip-hop side project, I would think that people would say that would surprise most people. Like, there's a lot of hip-hop stuff going on, but I already said that during your episode. Honestly, I listen to a lot of, like tribally stuff. Tribal beats with no vocals that just kind of go forever. A lot of like atmospheric stuff. I listen to a lot of stuff without vocals and without even any type of musical structure. It just feels like just some type of atmosphere playing. That's probably because of how I produce, though. Like, when I produce, oftentimes I don't necessarily have a melody in mind, but I have a feeling of how I want to feel, and I will work on creating the environment first, and then once the environment is there, then the music will come. And so I will do that a lot, even like with the music that I just kind of ambiently listening to, like tribal African stuff, tribal South American, tribal Southeast Asian tribes. There's something about these very remote, disconnected parts of the world where I find a lot of inspiration. So definitely that.
I love it. Well, brother, it's official, man. You've already been family, but now you're locked in officially with the Denmates. We're going to get some merch to you. We always like to support all the artists. Please send Ashley and Astra my love. Send the gang my love. It's been too long. I got to see you guys. But please give the Denmates and the friends of the Den your social media, where they can find you, anything you want to promote. You know, you got that new single out. Anything you want to promote, the floor is yours. You earned it.
Sure, yeah. So probably two good places to come find me. The first would be my Spotify. And so basically, just look up Worlds Apart on Spotify, and you're kind of find two entities there. One is like this French band that hasn't produced anything in the 90s, since like the 90s, but apparently they're huge in the 90s, so they'll probably come up first or second. And then the other will be me, which is like, it basically looks like my wife popping out of a bubble portal, and it has all sorts of EDM music, so definitely that one. And then Worlds Apart Music on Instagram would be the other main area to put to follow me.
Perfect. So guys, please do me a favor. You know I'm batting 1,000 with the artists that I recommend. I go into painful detail to make sure we're getting you quality artists. They can't just do music. They have to feel it. They have to have a vibe. That's what we do. The Denmate. Den is an acronym for Dreams and Nightmare. Like, doing this was a dream. Doing music for you was a dream, and it's really healing. So I appreciate you, brother. Anytime you want to come up promote, next time we'll have the whole gang up there. You're more than welcome. I also have some dope artists. We already have you in the group chat, but we have some dope artists that we're working with. If you're looking for some artists to collaborate, I'm your man. I'm the curator of culture, so I got you. Brother, thank you so much for taking the time out, joining us in the Den. Love what you're doing. Love the progress. Keep it up. I wish you nothing but great and continued success. And guys, thank you for tuning in. We're season 4. I can't believe it. Season 4. Down in the Den. You know what we do. I need y'all to like, comment, subscribe. I need you to turn on your notifications so when you have these episodes, if you're listening on YouTube versus Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast, you'll get a notification that we have a new episode. And guys, as we end every single episode the same way, it's all about peace, love, unity, and respect. Deuces. All right, we're out. Perfect, bro, man. Fantastic, man. You're smooth as a baby's bottom, man. So that word. This is going to come out this Wednesday, so I will email you a unedited copy. So a lot of times the artists, they'll be like, oh, damn, I can't believe I said that. That was a good soundbite. So if you want to take a soundbite, you're more than welcome to do it, and I'll just we transfer that over to you. And like I said, it's come out Wednesday at 7 p.m. It'll be on audio, it'll be everywhere you listen to podcasts, and then if you want to see the visual, it'll be on YouTube.
All right, awesome. Sounds good.
All right, brother. Well, I appreciate you, man, and keep rocking.
Thanks, man. It's good seeing you again.
Good seeing you, bro.
Bye.
Later. So like, comment, subscribe. The show's starting right now. Let's go. Like, comment, subscribe. The show's starting right now.